I will go unto the altar of God, the God who gives joy to my youth.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Another distinguishing characteristic of St. Hugh is the number of clergy, of different priests who have visited here and served you in the offering of Holy Mass, hearing confessions, and so forth. I reckon it must be, it's more than a dozen, maybe it's about 20 or so. It's remarkable how many, even from different countries, have come. You should remember them all in your generous prayers, the living and the deceased. There are four of them dead now that I can think of, and our grateful prayers should have them in remembrance. Now, amongst them is the founding pastor of this church, about whom I want to speak to you, the catafalque, that's called, that's set up there in the church aisle, making it a little difficult to get around for Holy Communion. The catafalque was for the ceremony called the absolution, for a special prayer of blessing, the same as is given, essentially, at a funeral mass, for the repose of the soul of Father Anthony Cicada. Over the years, although he's a founding pastor, his visits, I think he founded the church about 1982 or so, his visits became more infrequent because of his other duties. He was a pastor of a St. Pius V chapel on Long Island, New York. That was Oyster Bay Cove. And then he was the pastor at St. Clair in Columbus for a number of years, an assistant pastor at St. Gertrude the Great. And for the last 11 years or so, while he was the choir director, the in charge of the whole music, and the organist at our church, always a very busy man. Well, someone told me yesterday that sometimes when he came, Father would begin his sermon by saying, "I think I need to introduce myself. My name is Father Anthony Cicada." But as they say about well-known people, he needs no introduction. You may never have met the man personally, but you would certainly know him by his articles available on the internet, by his informing and entertaining YouTube videos. There's quite a little group of them, and they're still up, and you can still watch them, and you should, taking you through the Mass and why the changes in the Mass are wrong, section by section, explaining about his wonderful book, which was his life's work, which is the work of human hands. About 4,500 copies or so have been sold. Has just been translated into Portuguese in Brazil, and that's going now. And then we're still working on the Spanish and the French language translation of his work. Really, his is a name that is known throughout the whole world, this very, very gifted priest. He was at the same time extremely gifted musically, and that's really what got him along his path to being a true or a traditional Catholic. 4 years ago, when that cancer, which would return in September to claim his life, 4 years ago, when he was very sick, and this is emblematic of his whole life, that's why I tell it to you, he would force himself, he always did, he was a man of great self-discipline, to teach, even though he was having chemo that summer, and was very, very weak. Of course, chemo almost does kill you. And he was tutoring and teaching some individual students, but at the same time, because of the pressing controversies in the traditional Catholic world, Father Cicada was making videos. And it is remarkable to me to think of it, how that he wrote the script and then perfected it, and then all the little illustrations that he was going to put up on the screen to make things nice and clear. And then he actually set up the camera and filmed himself and edited it. And finally, when everything was ready, he posted it on YouTube. And he did all of that for the sake of Catholic truth and for the sake of souls. He summed up his life when he came to Milwaukee, this native son of Milwaukee, Father Cicada. He came for the 50th anniversary celebration of his seminary high school class at DeSales Prep, as it was called. He wrote in the yearbook for them, "The priesthood is still the greatest job in the world." As I say, it is music that really got him started. He was he learned piano, and he wanted to learn organ, And he wanted to learn how to compose, because he had this thought as a kid, that if he could compose good music, he could replace or he could fight against some of the terrible bad music that was taking over the churches in the 1960s. And his father's employer arranged for him to attend the Milwaukee Conservatory. And there he was under the tutelage of a very, very talented man who went on to do great things musically on the national front. His name was Michael Hammond. And he taught him, in a couple of years, he taught him the art of composition and told him, in effect, that he was the most talented young man musically, if not some sort of a musical prodigy. I learned some of these things only after he died, because he was never one to talk about himself. In fact, he said when he could tell that because of the changes in society and at this particular musical school, the conservatory, that it was hopeless, he put everything into a brown manila envelope, and that was that, finished. And then just when he had this 4 years ago with the cancer, he got to thinking, as one would, about his life, and he got it out, and he said he was surprised himself at how good some of his teenage productions were. But that wasn't the height of it for him by any means. He was always teaching himself something, whatever needed to be done, whether it was accounting or ecclesiastical chant, sacred liturgy, psalms, canon law, theology. He taught these as a traveling visiting professor at our seminary in Detroit and then later on in Florida. And he was always available to people. He would run into people, and he was that kind of a priest. He would talk, they would be drawn to him, and he would have something, he'd listen. Then he'd have something good to say to them. He had a very helpful way. He was always being a priest, always somebody helping somehow. When I became a bishop, he learned all of the ceremonies of a bishop, pontifical rubrics, and wrote those all up. When we had our lawsuits with the Pius X Society, he learned something about civil law. When we built our new church, he learned more than a little something about architecture and church design. And then all the while, of course, the work with the music. But most of all, his great love was to do research and to write. And that he did in abundance, a prolific writer on many, many topics concerning religion and the modern changes, social events in the world, the rest of it. His booklets sold quite a bit, and as I say, a huge amount of work of human hands have been sold and distributed throughout the world. He studied here in Milwaukee through high school and college, and then he went for a brief amount of time to a monastery of the Cistercian order, which was a little bit traditional. I had just been there myself, and I had left there to go to Archbishop Lefebvre's seminary in Switzerland. Well, Father Cicada spent some time there, and then he himself went to Switzerland, first as a Novus Ordo monk, and then to the Pius X seminary, where he was ordained a priest in 1977. While he achieved so very much, and he could certainly have lorded it over others, he didn't. He had a very humble way about him, and he had a winning sense of humor. He was very down to earth and very reasonable and kind. He didn't have much in the way of enemies, although the enemies he had were pretty good enemies. But if he didn't want to let you become his enemy, he didn't. He had a way to keep the friendship going, a remarkable talent on the part of this remarkably talented priest. His life should be, I think, that's why I'm talking about it today, an encouragement for us, and in this bleak world today, a point of pride. Father is a native son of Milwaukee, and left when he left, a lot of good behind here at St. Hugh, a point of pride in the midst of everything. What a year 2020 has been. And of course, it's not over yet, another 2 months to go. The loss of this lucid and eloquent priest and leader makes our grief perhaps even more poignant. This has been a year of loss and of sorrows. If we should feel them by giving way to sadness, it would almost be understandable. The slow as well as the quick loss of a whole way of life, of liberty in our land and indeed throughout the whole world, under the hand of the one world oligarchy, which has imposed a new order, a new one world order, this what they call the social, universal social discipline. And it's all under the cover of COVID, and it's all big lie and a big conspiracy. The merest of pretext for what they themselves call the Great Reset. This has been mutely accepted by most people, even good people, even conservative people. Masked as they are anonymous followers of the new way, and silenced, dumb, beneath their sign of compliance, the mask. We have barely emerged from the worst lockdown one could ever imagine. You experienced here in Cincinnati and at this church very much, when now we had to face the farce of a falsified and a stolen election and the imposition of a senile figurehead with a communist woman waiting in the wings. What will tomorrow bring, do you think? Suffering, surely, yes. God sends suffering, you know, or he permits it, for our good. Sometimes it is to punish us, because better in this life than in the next, and some people won't get another chance. Like Israel of old, for all of the abominations of America and the abominations of the modern world, to punish us here and now, lest we should perish for eternity. And to open up maybe at least some eye, but also so that we might atone for our sins and the sins of others. That's another purpose of the 40-hour devotion. A just anger, at times, we may and should feel at the destruction of, well, first of all, they got the church, didn't they? And now they have gotten the country, and that entails the abolition of our rights. And you got to say to yourself sometimes, what about the rights of Almighty God? And all of the lies, we should resist them and not be ashamed, intimidated, or embarrassed. We should resist them with all of our might and main. Just as, well, now it was a long time ago, a young teenager named Tony Chicada, dismayed at the changes in the church and the mass, was resolved to resist them. And first of all, he thought he could do it by composing better, good music. And then he went to DeSales Seminary, the high school and the college, and tried to resist for years the heresies that were being taught there. Then it was a Cistercian for a while, and they were going, so he left them. And then he went to Switzerland and was ordained a priest. And then eventually, of course, Archbishop Lefebvre and the Pius X Society, why, they went too. He was dedicating, though, all of his priesthood not only to enlightening people about the modern errors, but especially to educate our young and to help them to get on and stay on the right path. But really, it's because of Father Chicada that we are here today at St. Hugh of Lincoln, this little island of uncompromised Catholicism, in a raging sea of conciliarism, Vatican II, and now of the COVID conspiracy. He resisted. Do you see where we're going in this sermon? From grief, from mourning, from sorrow, and fear, you know, is technically a sorrow over a potential future evil. We've moved from all of those things to action. That's the lesson of Father Chicada's life. Learn it now, teach it
and live it, lest our faith, along with our church and our children, all be swallowed up in the sadness of submission. Sorrows today are many. Anybody could count them off, but no accumulation of sorrows, no matter how long a list you might figure, would ever give you a reason or an excuse for sadness. That's something else again. In the gospel today that I just read now at the altar, our blessed Lord is called to raise a girl, a dead girl, back to life. What does he do when he gets there? The first thing our Lord does is to get rid of the noisemakers. They were making a rout, the mourners. Too much talking, too much tears, too much noise, and then flutes playing too. And once he's restored order and silence, then he just picks the little girl up by the hand, and she's restored to life. There was an early father of the church who was the brother of the first Pope Pius, and his name was Hermas. And Hermas wrote that sadness is the brother of doubt and of anger. And it's the worst of devils because it drives the Holy Ghost from a soul. Not for nothing does the priest stop at every Mass before he dares to go up to the altar to begin. And he says, what does he say first? Ad Deum qui laetificat juventutem meam. I will go unto the altar of God who gives joy to my youth. The prayers, Hermas says, of a sad man lack the strength enough to ascend to the altar of God. God gives the joy. It is agreeable to God for the cheerful man to feel and to do good and to despise sadness. The sad man, he continues, works evil. And he saddens the Holy Ghost because the Holy Ghost was given to us for our joy. That's why the Holy Ghost is one of the, gives us 12 different gifts, and one of them is the gift of joy. Sadness, furthermore, this early Christian teaches, sadness makes us guilty before God because we end up not praying and certainly not praising Almighty God. Here's a story that I told at Father Chicata's funeral, and I think that perhaps I will conclude this little sermon with it today. I was here Labor Day weekend, my last visit, and Father Chicata, unbeknownst to me, had begun dying. And when I came back on Labor Day, I discovered just a major change in his condition. And when I went to see him at the hospital, he wasn't really speaking, nothing that made any sense. So when I came into the room, he had two nurses, two young nurses, one on each side of him. And he was informing them that they needed to, because sometimes in a hospital, you get totally confused. He said that they needed to take him to the police station because he was going to fire an elder abuse report against the two of them. And they just sort of took it in, you know, kind of wondering, what is this all about? And then the rest of, just every now and again, he would say something that was sensible, a communication. But the rest of the time, I couldn't follow anything that he was saying. 2 days before he died, though, out of the blue, he said very clearly, and I gave her a cheerful earful. Well, that's what you should do. If you wish to imitate this good priest to whom we all owe so much, give each other and give the people outside a cheerful earful. Don't be afraid and do not be ashamed. Father Chicata's voice is not yet silenced. There are all these books and articles. You can access the articles on the internet and on YouTube. You can see a nice collection of informative, as we say, as well as entertaining videos. Now, you should raise yourself up as well. God has given you joy, and that joy, fruit of the Holy Ghost, will enable you to do the one essential thing here below
the reason why this church was founded and why it still exists. To go unto the altar of God, that's everything. God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.